Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
When you're whole, when you're healed in your heart and you're whole, there's so many people walking around in life, they're not the best version of themselves. They're just not. Because life can throw us some curlies. You know what I'm talking about? You know, there's no condemnation if you don't feel like you're the best version of yourself, because, you know, life comes along and it chops us out at the knees sometimes, and it damages us and it wounds us and it gets us into all these messes and places so that we're not at our best. But who knows, the truth of the Word of God is that Jesus died so we can be free. Jesus died so that we can actually be whole. The word in scripture around this is the word sozo, the Greek word sozo. And it's like a complete wholeness package. It's a package deal with steak knives and all the trimmings, you know. Like it's not just forgiveness from sin. It's also to have your heart healed and have your life healed and be restored in every way, shape or form, regardless of what life has thrown at you. The ministry of Jesus in the book of Isaiah 61, and then in the New Testament also in Luke chapter 4, it says that Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted and to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to set the captive free. They are wholeness statements. They're wholeness declarations. You know, our Jesus is in the business of wholeness. He really is. But like we preached last week, it does actually take work on our behalf. And I want to say to you today that the work towards wholeness, we can think of it a little bit like a fight. I want you to think of it a little bit like a fight, because think about it. In any fight, you actually have two opposing forces, right? In any fight, you have two sides. Both are vying for victory. Both are vying to dominate the other. Anyone who's ever struggled with any type of lack of wholeness in your life, you know, if you've ever been broken, if you've ever been bound, if you've ever been addicted to something, if you've ever been anxious, if you've ever wanted to be free of anything, you know it's a fight. You know it is a fight. You know that there's two opposing sides. You know there's the you want to be. There's that true you. There's that God-shaped you. There's that you on fire and full of destiny. But then there's this enemy that sort of roars against you and taunts you. And they come at you in various shapes and forms, be they demonic, be they dealing with your flesh and your flesh nature, be it a sin issue, be it, you know, wounds and trauma, any sort of ways, but they've all got the same intention. They want to subdue the real you. They want to subdue and suppress that God-shaped you and keep you in a place where you're down and you're under. But the good news is Jesus, in Jesus, we're on the side of victory. Victory is ours in Jesus. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, Paul says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Turn to your neighbor and say, victory. Victory. Turn to your other neighbor and say, victory. Like you mean it, like you're brave heart. Victory. Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I want to declare over your life, there's not one enemy that comes against your life that the death and the resurrection of Jesus has not overcome. It doesn't matter what it is. As believers, we can be assured that victory is ours. But here's the thing. We have to be prepared to face the fight. We have to be prepared to face the fight. And that's why I've called this message today, Face the Fight. Now, I'm not talking about going home and using this as license to pick a fight with your spouse. That's not the kind of fight that I want to promote here. I'm talking about facing the fight for wholeness in your heart. I'm talking about facing up to those areas within you, within your mind, within your soul, and your behavior that are keeping you from actually walking into wholeness, that are keeping you from stepping into that place of victory and being the best version of yourself. They're the fights that we need to face. And the problem is that fighting is a lot harder than not fighting. You know, it's easier to not fight. You know, and I ask you some questions and don't put your hand up. But have you ever not wanted to face the fight because it just felt too hard? You know, Has the fight ever felt too scary and you didn't want to face it? Has it felt too overwhelming? Have you ever not wanted to go there on those places in your heart because it was just too painful? Maybe you felt like you were defeated already before you started, like you tried before and failed, you tried before and failed, so it was just too hard. It felt too impossible. Has that ever been you? Because it's been me. You know, join the club. You know, sometimes we back away from facing the fight by blaming other people for the way we are, how we are. You know, we say, I'm angry and it's all your fault. You know, I'm like this and it's because of you that I'm like this and such and so on and forth. In that place of blame, we make it someone else's problem. And if it's someone else's fault, then it's not our responsibility. It's someone else's responsibility. And in that place of blame, we actually don't face the fight. Have you ever, you know, diminished the issue? Like made it small. Again, if we say that it doesn't matter, if we say that it's not really a very big deal, then we don't have to fight. We don't have to face the fight. We all have all sorts of reasons and excuses why we don't face the fight. But here's the thing. If you don't face the fight, you can't obtain a victory. If you do not face the fight, how will you ever expect to obtain a victory? Like the boxer can't take the boxing trophy unless they're prepared to get in the ring. You know, that's the way this thing works. You know, how would we expect to be whole if we're not prepared to actually face up to those areas in our lives that are robbing and stealing wholeness from us? Victory comes to those who are prepared to face the fight, to get up in Jesus' name, square up to the fight and face it head on. We're going to dive into looking at David in Scripture because who knows David, King David. From the Old Testament, he faced some fights. And there's many things that we can learn from David's fight that are actually going to help us in our own. And we're going to look at a very famous passage of Scripture in chapter 17. It's the story of David and Goliath. And we all know the story of David and Goliath pretty well. And when we open up to chapter 17, we find a confrontation between two armies, between the Israelite army and the Philistine army. And essentially what's going on between these two armies is a standoff. Nothing much is happening. We've got the Israelite army on one hill, Philistine army on another hill, valley in between. Nothing much is happening except every day for 40 days and 40 nights, this giant of a warrior called Goliath is being sent out from amongst the ranks of the Philistine army, and his job is to just come and hurl intimidation. His job is to just come and stand on the hill and hurl threats and intimidation and taunts at Israel. And he basically lays down the terms of agreement for the battle. And he said, look, send a guy out to fight me. And if you kill me, we'll surrender to you. But if I kill you, which was the highly likely predicament, then you have to surrender to us. And that was the terms of engagement. And what's really interesting is that these threats, these taunts, had their whole Israelite army undone. It's interesting because they're an army, you know. That's what they're there for, to fight. You know, they've got weapons, they're fit, they're healthy, they're strong, they've got armor, they've got all the stuff, and yet they weren't facing up to the fight. And here entered David, just a teenager. And although he had been anointed to be king, at this stage of his life, he was not yet a king. He was just a shepherd boy. That's me. That's fine. I thought it was Siri. Yes, Siri. Go away, Siri. Siri always comes on at inappropriate times. So although he'd been anointed to be king, he wasn't functioning in that anointing. Yet the only reason he was on the battlefield at all was to take food to his brothers, that his father had sent him to send food, bread and cheese to his brothers. He was basically biblical Uber Eats. That's what he was. You know, he was the food delivery guy. But it was David that actually stepped up. It was David that actually said, I'm prepared to face this fight. And we pick up the story in verse 32. And we essentially find David here making a pitch to King Saul as to why he should be the guy. Why I should be the one allowed to have a crack at taking this Goliath down. And let's read. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. I'm going to go and fight him. And Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're just a young man, a whippersnapper. And he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, no, you don't understand, King Saul. Your servant David has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and I struck it and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. Can you imagine holding a lion by its mane as it's turning on you? Struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, good luck to you, mate. The Lord be with you. You know, it's the Australian Standard Version. Good luck to you, mate. Have a crack, mate. So David's made his pitch to Saul. And I love this pitch that he makes because he recounts fights that he'd fought previously that he believes now qualifies him to fight this new fight that was in front of him. He says, I've killed the lion, I've killed the bear, and this uncircumcised guy, he's going to be just like one of them. And we know the end of the story. We know that Saul says, okay, go, have a go. And that David kills Goliath in the most spectacular of ways. That he epically takes him down with just a sling and a stone, and he leads Israel to a tremendous victory. And as epic as that victory was, it's not so much the battle against Goliath that I want to hone in on today. It's more these other battles that he mentions. The battle against the lion, the battle against the bear. That's where I want to spend our time today. Because the battle against Goliath was a very public sort of battle. It was witnessed by many people and it became widely known and everybody knew about it. But the fight against the lion and the fight against the bear, no one was there to witness them. They happened in a secret place. And I think this is a lot like our battle for wholeness. Because isn't it true that when we face the fight for wholeness, we face that fight in a secret place? We face that fight in a secret place. See, some fights in your life are going to be a lot more prominent. Some challenges of your life, they're going to be a lot more public. Maybe you fight, wrestle to finish that degree, pay off that mortgage, you run a marathon, good on you, you know, whatever. Those things are going to be a lot more public. And in that place, you might get some reward for them. You might get some recognition for them and that sort of thing. Maybe people will applaud you. Maybe you can put it on Facebook and your friends will go, congratulations, go you, that's amazing. David's defeat of Goliath was that kind of victory. It was a public kind of victory. It came with reward and recognition. Heck, if you read chapter 18, it even came with dancing girls. There was dancing girls. You have got to read chapter 18 for that. But the fight for wholeness is not that sort of fight. It's not that sort of fight. It is fought in the secret places of our heart and the wrestlings of our mind and the wrestlings in our emotions and our flesh as we battle to bring these things before God. You know, when David fought the lion and the bear in the pasture, there was nobody there to witness that fight. And he fought not because there would be recognition. He just did it because it was right. And he did it out of the integrity of his own heart. And he did it out of a strength of conviction. And he did it because he refused to let the enemy steal what was rightfully his. He refused to let the enemy rob and steal what had been entrusted to him by his father. And David's experience in that secret place, it resembles how we need to fight in our secret place. Because the truth is, we've all got enemies that creep up on us in secret places. We have all got enemies that creep up on us in secret places. For David, it was a lion and a bear. For us, it can be all sorts of things. You know, fear, anxiety, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment. These things are enemies that creep up on us in those secret spaces of our mind and our heart. What about lust? What about different types of addictions and pride and shame and grief and all of these types of things? On and on and on we could go. Not all of us are going to struggle with all of the things. 100% all of us are going to struggle with something. All of us are going to struggle with something. And just like the lion and the bear, their intention is to steal, kill, and destroy what is rightfully ours as children of God. They want to steal your peace. They want to rip apart your relationships. They want to destroy your marriage and damage your confidence and take away your joy. Am I preaching to someone this morning? You know, they ultimately want to stop you walking in what your Father has for you to walk in. And we need to be people that would face that fight in the secret places of our hearts and our minds and see those enemies destroyed in Jesus' name. Need to actually step into the victory and the freedom that our Jesus died for us to have. Come into sozo. No one stood and applauded David for killing the lion and killing the bear, just like no one's going to stand and applaud you for going to battle in the secret places of your heart and your mind. You know, it's not the sort of battle that you post on Facebook. You know, no one goes, "Well done today, mate. You didn't crack it. You didn't lose the plot. You know, good on you. You humbled yourself today." You know, it's not like that. It happens in that secret place. I'm not saying that we don't have accountability. Of course we have accountability. Of course we have some trusted people that know what we're going through and will pray for us. But we have to understand that it doesn't come with the accolades. But although it's not public, it's incredibly powerful as the people of God actually get free, as the people of God actually come into wholeness. And the other encouraging thing is that as we face these fights, it prepares us. If you face the fight, it's going to prepare you. There's this extent to which fighting in the secret place is going to prepare you for the more prominent places that God has in store for you. It's a place of preparation. You know, the secret place is going to prepare you for the public place. What David defeated in the pasture, the lion and the bear, prepared him to defeat Goliath, prepared him to go into that public arena. His destiny was not meant to be with the sheep. His destiny was actually to rule a nation. He was actually supposed to rule over the nation. But this secret place was a critical place of preparation. If he didn't face those fights in the secret place, I highly doubt he could have conquered Goliath in that public place. It was a critical place of preparation. See, God has purpose. God has destiny for every single life in this room. He wants to take you into prominence. He wants to give you greater platforms of influence. But he is a good father. He is a really good father. And he's not going to set us up into places where we'll fall, where we're ill-equipped and unprepared. He loves you too much. And he knows you need wholeness in your inner life to support what he wants to put on your outer life. You need wholeness inside so he can do what he wants to do outside. It's not to say we have to be perfect before God can use. Otherwise, hey, hello, none of us would ever get used. We're all on the journey, but nonetheless, there's a principle that transformation is from the inside out. You know, Jesus said, "Wash the inside of the cup and the outside will be clean." You know, guard your heart, for the wellspring of life flows from it. It is a principle in the Lord. And I do think of so many fights that I've faced personally that have undoubtedly been a place of preparation for me. As I reflect on my journey, there is no way I could be standing here in a relative public place if I had not gone to war, faced some fights in my secret place. You know what I'm saying? I had so many areas where I wasn't walking in wholeness. It wasn't even funny. You didn't want to know me. I was so broken, but so much fear and anxiety that wanted to keep me silent. Completely and totally silent, wanted to keep me off every stage and out of every leadership place and space. Fear and anxiety were those enemies that would creep up on me in secret places, in quiet places. I had insecurity and pride. I cared more about what people thought of me than I cared what God thought of me. And all of these things, they were enemies roaring against me that were compromising my capacity to walk in the purpose that God had for me. It compromised. And I'm not saying that I made it. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. But by God's grace, I know I've faced some fights. And by God's grace, I know I've obtained some victories. Thank you, Jesus. And there's just been this sense to which they have prepared me and got me ready so that I could walk in what God had for me, that as He did it inside, then I was able to express it outside. It's a principle in God. It's critical that we face the fear because it prepares us for purpose. It prepares us, and the more victory you obtain in your inner life, the more God can release you into the things He wants to release you into in every other sphere of your life. And although this wholeness battle, this wholeness fight might be in the secret place, the encouragement is you never have to face the fight alone. It may be in the secret place, but that does not mean you face the fight alone. The Lord is with you. The Lord is fighting for you. The Lord is on your side. He's on your side. You're on the side of victory. Look again at what David said to King Saul in verse 34 and 35. It says, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I, David, went after it. I struck it. I rescued the sheep from its mouth when it turned on me. I seized it. I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it." But jump down to verse 37, and he says something different. He says, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear." It's interesting, because David says, "I struck him. I killed him. I dealt with that thing." But then he says, "The Lord rescued me." So who was it? Was it David or was it the Lord? Was it the Lord or was it David? It was both. It was both, because as we fight, God fights with us. As we fight, God fights with us. As David stepped up and faced the fight, God stepped in and anointed him to actually obtain the victory. You know, it's the same with us. As ones who are in Christ, we never have to face this fight alone. When we step up, the Lord steps in. When we step up, the Lord steps in. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. You step up and God steps in and anoints you and gives you the strength and gives you the boldness and the ability to actually win. The scripture is full of encouraging verses that tell us that God has given us the tools to obtain the victory. He has given us everything we need. 2 Corinthians 10 says the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. Do you know in Christ you have divine power to demolish strongholds, to see those suckers dealt with in Jesus' name? You know, we have the great and precious promises of His word. Every promise is yes in Christ, and we speak the amen to the glory of God. Every promise is yes in Christ, ratified in the blood of our Savior. You know, these are the tools that we have. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, but we have to pick it up. We have to wield it. It's there, but is it gathering dust on the shelf, or is it in our hand like a weapon? You know, God's given us what we need. He's given us the assurance, His permanent presence, so that He will never leave us nor forsake us. We never have to fight alone. I hope that encourages someone here today. You don't have to fight alone. And I guess the question I have for every single one of us, myself included here today, are we actually facing the fight? Are we actually facing up to those wholeness issues that may be going on inside of our life, inside of our heart, or are we backing down from the fight? Are we confronting those enemies that are sneaking up on us in secret places? See, some people prefer to just ignore the enemy. We ignore it and hope it'll go away. I've done that a million times. Ignore it and hope it'll go away. Hope it's all going to get better on its own. You know, we say things like, I don't have to, you know, forgive. Just give it some time and things will sort themselves out, you know. I don't have to confess that thing. I'm just going to try a lot harder to do a lot better next time. You know, I'm pretty sure that David could have ignored the lion and ignored the bear and allowed the lion and the bear to take a sheep here and there, because after all, what's a sheep or two when you've got an entire flock of sheep? Who knows, whatever enemy we do not kill will come back hungry for more. Whatever we do not kill comes back hungry for more. If David had not dealt with the lion and the bear, they would have actually come back hungry for more. Ignoring it and hoping it'll go away does not work. It comes back. You can sweep something under the carpet, but you will trip over it again eventually. You will trip over it eventually, because we need to kill the spider, not just sweep away the cobwebs. We need to go after the root of issues, not just ignore it and hope it'll go away. See, some people have become so used to their enemies that they've just learned to manage them. They think, this is as good as it gets. I'll just manage the anxiety. I'll just manage the fear. I'll just manage the bitterness or whatever it might be. You know, when Goliath intimidated Israel 40 days and 40 nights, the entire Israelite army assimilated his intimidation into their daily routine. He became a part of their daily routine. Every day he would roar his taunts and threats and intimidation, and every day they would live cowering in fear. It was part of their life. And in that place, they were so robbed. These were God's own people, and yet they were stuck, neither advancing nor retreating. They were stuck. And some people live their lives like that, robbed. Just learn to manage the enemy, neither advancing nor retreating, just stuck, but removed from the wholeness that Jesus died for us to have. We're not supposed to be ignoring issues and hoping they'll go away. We're not supposed to be managing the enemy. We're supposed to be defeating the enemy in Jesus' name. We're supposed to be grinding into the ground in Jesus' name. We need to have that same spirit as David and let the tenacity rise up and get some grit about us to face everything that's assaulting us. Put our faith in the Lord. Put our hope in the Lord. Pick up the sword of the Spirit. Yield the divine power. See those strongholds demolished. David said when he faced Goliath, he said, I come at you in the name of the Lord Almighty. I'm going to strike you and cut off your head. We need to look at some enemies and say, I'm going to strike you in Jesus' name and cut off your head. You are going in my life, and start to roar back some intimidation at all the enemy has been roaring at us. It's time for the children of God to rise up in victory, amen, because the Lord is on our side. He's the Lord strong in battle. He calls you more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ, more than a conqueror. Greater is he in you than he that is in the world. Whatever's roaring at you, you can overcome because you're on the side of victory. And we're going to walk into wholeness in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Singers and musicians, you can come and join me. I hope that's blessed someone here today. I hope you've got something out of that. I hope the Lord's stirring something in your heart. You can stand to your feet all over this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're a chain breaker. You're a chain breaker. Your anointing breaks yokes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're a miracle-working God. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, no longer to be bound by a yoke of slavery. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You're a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're a child of God. You're not your diagnosis in this place today. You're a child of God. You're a child of God.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.